Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. And verse 15. The title of my message this morning is Choosing Your Master. I don't know if you realize it, but every single person here is a slave. You're a slave to something. You're either a slave to God, or you're a slave to sin, one or the other. Now, I remember when I met my wife, and she and I began to date, and finally I with a lot of prayer, and worked up the nerve to ask her to marry me. And what a great thing that was. But you know what? My love for her motivated me to serve her. Did you know, whenever you love someone, love is not what I get, love is what I give. And when we commit our life to Christ, we serve Him out of a heart of love. But there may be times where we don't feel like serving God. You ever felt that way? Maybe you woke up and you're having a bad day, you just didn't feel like serving God. You just didn't feel like being concerned with the things of God. The Bible teaches that we have an old nature. And those of us who know Christ, those of us who made a choice to repent of our sin and to put our trust in Jesus Christ, receiving His forgiveness, we have both a new nature that wants to follow God and an old nature that wants to follow sin. And so we have to make a choice. We have to choose our master. But now I want you to know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, and there's never been a time where you have made a choice to turn from your sin and to trust in Jesus, just like you trust in a parachute, to put your trust in Him, to save your soul, to forgive your sin because of what Jesus did when He died on the cross, you need to do that today. You need to choose your master for the first time. And it'd be my delight. We'll give you an opportunity to do that. If you haven't done that this morning, we want you to do that before you leave this place. And you can know where you're going to spend eternity when you die. But this message is for Christians mainly, because it is those who have experienced the forgiveness of God who have the new nature. You cannot serve God and be pleasing to God apart from His Holy Spirit power within you. It's just impossible. And so the Christian, when they put their trust in Christ, they receive the Spirit of God, and they now have a new power living within them, and they are free to make a choice. Isn't that a great thing? You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to be defeated. You can have victory through Jesus Christ. And that's what this scripture is about today. If you'll look with me at verse 15, it says, "What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Absolutely not. Do you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one that you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But thanks And thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to. And having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness." I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. "For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to moral impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free from allegiance to righteousness. And what fruit was produced then from the things you're now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. But now, since you have been liberated from sin and become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He speaks about being under grace. A Christian is under the favor of God not because they deserve it, but because God has extended his forgiveness, his love, and all the benefits of eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's a gift of grace. He says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm so glad that God gives that to us as a gift. How many of you, if you gave gifts to your children this past Christmas, then asked them to work to pay them off? Any of you? Not a single one. Wow, imagine that. Why? Because it's a gift, right? A gift means that I'm not earning it, I'm receiving it as a gift. So, why does God, here in this scripture, speak of living in life or death? Is it possible for a Christian to live in death? A Christian has eternal life. The Bible says it's a gift, right? It's a gift. And eternal life is just that. It lasts forever. It's a gift. But did you know the Bible says this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent? That's in John 17, verse 3. Eternal life begins the moment I trust Christ as my Savior and Lord. And it lasts forever. Okay? But as a Christian, I can choose to live in the blessings of that eternal life, or I can choose to live according to my old nature. God still gives me the freedom to choose that. And praise God, one of these days, I'm going to have a new glorified body that won't be tempted by sin. And when Jesus comes back, praise God for that. But right now, God has given me a choice of how I'm to live. It's amazing to me how many people I've seen over the years who are miserable in their Christian walk. I mean, they're sour. Some of them look like they sucked on a jar of pickles all day. I mean, they just, they're no joy. There's no peace. There's no excitement about their walk with the Lord. There's no freedom in their life to live in the way that God intended them to live. Did you know Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and might have it abundantly? You see, God is not so much concerned with what you have outwardly as he is concerned with bringing that blessing to your soul. And I do believe God blesses us outwardly. But he's more concerned with that abundant life that Jesus came and bought and paid for when he died on the cross. Jesus didn't just die to save us from hell. He also died to give us life. He told the woman at the well, he said, if you believe in me, out of your heart will come rivers of living water, and you won't thirst again. You will have your soul satisfied by me. Why is it so many Christians live with a leanness of soul? It's because of the choice they make. I want you to imagine with me for a second that I drove an old clunker, because I can remember some clunkers that we've had over the years. One that pops to my mind is my wife's, the car she had when we were married. It was a Pontiac Grand Am. We'd had it a number of years, and I won't get into the long story about it, but let's just put it this way. I worked on every system in that car, okay? That car was always breaking down. It was a pain in the neck. And she liked it at first, but it finally got so bad that she even wanted to get rid of it. And so we would just, I mean, it was a thorn in our side. You ever had one of those cars where you hit the gas and it says, I think I can? And then it dies in the middle of the road while you're driving down the street. I mean, that's the kind of car we were driving. And it wasn't any fun. Well, I want to tell you something. There are many people living a life just like that. It's miserable. They're dealing with problem after problem, heartache after heartache that comes about because of their sin. Now, I want you to kind of roll back with me a few hundred years back to the time when Christ and the apostles were on the earth, back to the time of the Roman Empire. I'm going to explain something to you. In the Roman Empire, they didn't have chapter 11. I mean, If you didn't have the money to pay your bills, you either paid your bills or you went to jail. It was just that simple. And if you wanted to keep from going to jail, what you would do is you would sell yourself as a slave. And usually it was kind of an indentured servant type of thing. You would sell yourself as a slave for a period of time, and you would be given an amount of money that would be necessary to pay off your debt. And so I want you to imagine with me that I was a slave, that I had borrowed some money, foolishly borrowed some money for that old clunker, and I was driving that old clunker, and I didn't have the money to pay for it. And so I thought to myself, I can either go to jail or I can pay for that car by selling myself into slavery. And suppose I knew of a really generous, good-willed person, and I decided, well, I think I'll go to him. Maybe this person will buy me as a slave, and I won't have to go to prison. I'll be able to pay my debt. And so suppose I went to this person, and he says to me, yes, I will buy you as a slave, but I'm also going to buy that clunker of a car that you have so that you don't have to worry about paying for that, and I'm going to make that my own. But I'm also going to buy you, you guessed it, a Corvette, a red Corvette, okay? And this is a brand new Corvette, and I'm going to tell you something. I have paid for the bumper-to-bumper extended warranty. And not only that, for lifetime maintenance, you will never have to take this car you'll never have to work on this car. You'll never have to be concerned about the mechanics of this car. It's a brand new car. I've bought it just for you. And here is the title deed to this car. Now, let me tell you something. I'm getting ready to go away on a trip. And what I want you to do while I'm gone, you're going to take care of my affairs. You're going to make sure all of the different things in my household get done and in my business get done. You're going to be responsible for that. And I'm going to stick that old clunker of a car up here in the garage. And when I get back, I'm going to put it in the trash compactor and send it for scrap metal. But whatever you want to do, as far as my affairs are concerned, you know, just to keep them going, if you want to drive that car, you're okay. But listen, I bought you this Corvette. This is the one I want you to drive. And then the man went away on a trip. Suppose I'm sitting there holding the Corvette keys in my hand, and I stick those in my pocket, and I pull out the Grand Am keys, and I walk over to the Grand Am, and I get in, and I start it up, and I go to begin running my errands, and what happens? It breaks down. And guess what? There's no bumper to bumper on that thing. I got to stop and fix it. Wouldn't that be foolish? Do you know that's exactly what many Christians do every day? God has provided them all the blessings of heaven, the abundant life. He's paid the price in full. He's given them the title deed to it when they trusted Christ. But instead, they choose to drive the clunker. They choose to live in sin. That's what he's saying here. He says, first of all, I want you to understand whose you are. He says, thank God, verse 17, that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted to, and having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. He says, I want you to understand who you are. You have been bought and paid for. Another scripture says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. What is that price? It's the price of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. What greater and higher price could God have paid? God paid that price for you and for me. We are his purchased possession. And he has told us, listen, I love you. I have a purpose for you. I want you to serve me. And I want you to live the life that I created you to live. I want you to live a life that's full of meaning and purpose and joy and victory. And it's there for you. I've given you the keys. All you've got to do is stick them in the ignition and turn it on. And you can walk in this life that I made for you. He says, you are my purchased possession. Another scripture put it this way: you've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Satan has no more power over you. Sin only has the power over you that you allow it to have. You can choose to serve Christ by the power of the Spirit. Now, then he says, do you not know, verse 16, do you not know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Okay, so he's talking to a Christian, and he says, you can be a slave to sin by choice. Not by ownership, but by choice. Do you know when Abraham Lincoln made the famous Emancipation Proclamation, set the slaves free all over our country? Do you know some of the slaves didn't know about it? Matter of fact, some of the master didn't tell the slaves about it. They wanted them to continue working as slaves. They were free, but they kept working as slaves, believing they were enslaved. By choice, they chose to be a slave, even though they weren't technically a slave by ownership. Listen, if you've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're no slave of sin. You've been set free. And you're free to serve Him. I want to tell you something. You as a Christian have a choice that you make each and every day, probably multiple times each day. Who am I going to serve? If I make a choice to serve sin, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season, but the end thereof is the way of death. If I make a choice to sin, what I'm doing is I am offering myself to this particular activity or this particular attitude or whatever it may be. I'm offering myself to that, and before long it's going to get a hold in my life. It's going to be a bondage in my life. The Bible talks about a stronghold of Satan or a foothold of Satan. Many Christians don't realize that when they choose to sin, what they are doing is they are giving the enemy a foothold in their life. And before long, they're living in such a way, and they feel almost compelled to live that way because they've been choosing sin, and now they have offered themselves, even though they're not a slave by ownership, they have offered themselves to be a slave to sin. But he says the reverse is also true. If you offer yourself to righteousness, you become a slave of righteousness more and more in practice. Isn't it great that I can choose to come to this house of God? I can choose to worship here. I can choose, even more. I can choose to go to Sunday school. Isn't that great? I can make a choice to offer the members of my body to God. Now we're getting dangerous. I can even make a choice to serve Him in the church. A choice to witness for Him in the community. I can make a choice to love my enemies. I can make a choice to give the tithe and offering God has called me to give. And more as I choose to obey God in the things that He has called me to do, I'm offering myself in righteousness. And then I'm choosing to have my personal devotions each day, to spend time in God's Word, to spend time in prayer, to cast my cares on Him. And guess what? I thank Him and I pray about my problems and He gives me His peace in return. What a great thing. And more, I'm growing in my walk with God. I'm offering myself as a slave to righteousness. I want to tell you something. When you offer yourself to God, you cannot outgive God. I'd rather be His slave than anyone else's because He loves me. He says, I've no longer called you servants. I've called you friends. But we need to understand something. Christianity is not I serve God in some things and I don't serve Him in other things. Christianity is a type of slavery. It's a good type. Because you're a slave to something. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. But a slave has to do everything his master says. Isn't that right? I mean, he doesn't have the choice. He can't tell his master, well, I really don't feel like doing that. Right? That's not an option for a slave. He's a slave. He does what his master has called him to do. Okay? And your translation may say servant. There's two words for servant in the Greek language. And one of them is diakonos, is a word from which we get our word deacon. And it means to serve in any way. But then there's the word doulos, which is a word for bondservant or for slave. And that was a literal slavery, okay? That's the word that's used here. He says, you have become a slave to Christ. One of the reasons some people don't have joy is they've never repented of their sin. They've held on to their sin. And they think because they don't smoke or chew or go with girls that do, that they're going to get to heaven. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing you can do can get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ. And he has said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. There must be a choice to turn from sin and to follow Christ. I can remember, I grew up in a minister's home. My dad was a minister of music when I was young, and then later surrendered to preach. And I was in the bed babies. I mean, you know, I was 2 weeks old. I was in church, and you know, I was in there every service. And you know, sometimes when you're in church every service, you can start taking things for granted, can't you? And I can remember they talk about preacher's kids. I was a preacher's kid. I was trying to live down that reputation. I didn't want to be looked at as the different one. Oh, that's the preacher's kid. Well, yeah, he only does what's good. Yeah, I wanted people to see me, so I figured if I was twice as bad as they were, I'd fit in, okay? And I had this idea that if I lived this way and I lived in the world, that I'd find satisfaction in the world. And you know what I found? It was the most miserable, empty thing. I carried around this guilt in my heart because I knew what I was doing was wrong, and I was empty. I was a slave to what people thought. I was a slave to what my own evil nature wanted to do. But then something happened. The Holy Spirit touched my heart one day as I was listening to a gospel message. And he showed me that I was lost, that I needed to repent of my sin and put my trust in Jesus to forgive me and give me eternal life. And I made that choice. And I said, Lord, it's not much, but what I have is yours. I said, I'll serve you, Lord. And you know what? He took away the guilt. He gave me his joy. He changed my heart. He gave me purpose. And I look back and I think, why in the world did I wait? Why in the world did I struggle to give my heart and life to Christ for over a year? I waited. Why did I wait? I thought it was going to be some kind of curse to surrender. But let me tell you something. When you give to Christ, he will give to you that life abundantly. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. That's what he's talking about, saying, Lord, it's yours. Then you find out what life's all about. Many Christians have eternal life. It's kind of like having a bunch of money in a bank account. They have eternal life, but they never go make a withdrawal. It's all sitting there. All the riches of heaven, all of God's joy, all of God's peace, it's all sitting there waiting to be used. But they don't make a withdrawal. Instead of choosing to be a slave to God in their daily life, they choose to be a slave to sin. And the Bible says the end of that is death. Now listen, I don't believe a Christian can ever be unsaved, but I do believe a Christian can live in a measure of death. If eternal life is knowing God, knowing Christ, 1 John says we can have that fellowship broken. We have to restore that through confession and repentance, right? So a Christian, though he cannot be completely spiritually dead, he can live with the effects of sin in his life and experience a leanness of soul because he's chosen to be a slave to sin instead of a slave to God. I've been there. I've chosen the wrong thing before. I'm sure you have too if you've been a Christian any amount of time. But I don't want to stay there. I want to go make a withdrawal and choose to serve him. Look at what he says here. He's speaking, he says, I'm using, when he says you're a slave to righteousness, in verse 19 he says, I'm using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. He's talking about the old nature. He says, you're still weak in your old nature, so you'll mess up sometimes and you'll sin sometimes. But he says, just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to moral impurity when you were lost, okay, and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification or becoming holy, becoming like God's character, okay? So he says, the good thing is, if you've been lost and you remember how you offered your body to and your mind and to all of these sinful practices, he says you can use that same principle except flip it around and offer it to God. So you've already learned how to offer your body, how to offer your mind to a specific pursuit. He said, just turn it from sin to God and begin to offer it to God. He says, you've already learned the basic principle of offering. Just offer it to the right person, the right thing. Offer it to God. And so he says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free from allegiance to righteousness. You know, there's some people in our country who think that the freedom that our founders fought and died for was freedom to sin. And they say, well, don't tell me not to live with somebody before I'm married. Don't tell me that homosexuality is sin. Don't tell me that having this attitude or serving many gods is sin or wrong. Listen, I can do whatever I want to. That's freedom, man. Don't you know I'm free? Yeah, you're free. Free to live in sin. Let me tell you something. The most wicked people are the people in the most bondage. He says you are free with regard to God. You didn't have to serve God. Live any old way you want to. You're going to experience the leanness of soul that goes with it. You're going to experience the death apart from Christ. Verse 21 says, what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. Shame and death. Why would we choose that? That's what he's saying. Why would you keep choosing that? What you're ashamed of, and what brings you leanness of soul. Yeah, you were free about serving God. You didn't have to serve God. But you had a bondage, a death in your soul. He said, instead, choose the right kind of freedom, which, by the way, was what our founders fought and died for, a freedom to serve Christ without persecution. They fought and they died so that we could worship Christ. Isn't it ironic that Christ is now being taken out of schools and public life, the very thing our founders fought and died to give us the freedom to do? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Real freedom is knowing Jesus and following him. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free to live for Christ. Free to live in his joy. Free to live in his power. What an awesome blessing. Look at verse 22. Now, since you've been liberated from sin and become enslaved to God by possession, by purchase of Jesus on the cross, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the end is eternal life. As you'll grow, and then you'll have eternal life forever. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, he spent five chapters of Romans proving that all of us are too wicked to save ourselves. And there's only one way we can be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, the profound work that he did on our behalf. and put our, and when we put our faith in that, God applies that to our lives, and he acquits us of sin, and he gives us eternal life. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the wages, on the flip side, the wages of sin is death. What we earn for our sin is death. You hear people say, well, God, I don't deserve this. Give me what I deserve. Listen, that's a dangerous prayer. What you deserve is to split hell wide open. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. And that's not just physical death. Jesus reverses that for the Christian at the resurrection. But it's also spiritual death. It's being separated from God now, and it's the second death. The Bible says the lake of fire is the second death, and that death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. Those who don't know Christ will spend an eternity in a place called hell. The lake of fire, that's the second death. The wages of sin, it's death. A person that doesn't know Jesus will experience all of those kinds of death. Once you are a Christian, you have received the gift of God that's eternal life. But guess what? You can still live in sin if you choose to do so, and you will experience the wages of sin on a different level in the breach of your fellowship with God, and you'll have that leanness of soul in your life. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. It's just the way sin works. That's why God hates sin. He hates sin because it disrupts our fellowship with him. He hates sin because it's destructive. There was a young man in my church that I grew up in. He sang in a gospel quartet in the church, and just was ended up being a music director, and just seemed to be a fine, godly man in every way. Somehow, he got involved with a woman that wasn't his wife. People found out about it. They were going to tell his wife. He drove to a parking lot, stuck a hose in his tailpipe and put it through the window and killed himself because the pain was so great in his life that he couldn't face tomorrow. I'm going to tell you something. There's a wage to be paid for sin. You may not go to hell, but I'm going to tell you there's still a wage to pay. If you don't know Christ, you will go to hell. But the gift of God is eternal life. You say, Pastor, how's it possible to not experience that life? Well, it's just like the bank account. He's given you the gift, but you've got to choose to do it. How do you choose to do it? You choose the right master. You choose the right master. Keep choosing him. Devil tempts you, or your old nature tempts you. Say, no, thank you. I'm going to choose Christ. And then you ask for the power of the Holy Spirit if you're struggling. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me, help me, give me your strength. And then make that choice. And God will bring you closer to him. And as you come closer to him, more and more you'll experience the fullness of blessing. And then one day Jesus is going to come back. We see through a glass darkly now. Then we'll see face to face. We'll have the full benefits when we get there. What a great thing. What about you? Have you been choosing the right master as a Christian? The altar's open this morning. Maybe you just need to come down here to this altar and say, Lord, I've been choosing the wrong master. And I'm choosing afresh and anew to follow you. Give me your grace. Fill me with your spirit. Give me your power. Change my heart so that I can follow you in the way that I should. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. There's never been a time where you have chosen to turn from your sin and to say, Jesus, here's my life. It's yours. I give it to you by faith, and I receive your forgiveness and eternal life. If that's your need, I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to come forward to the front here and just tell me, say, Pastor, I'm ready to surrender to Christ. And I'm ready to receive his forgiveness. If that's you, it would be my delight to pray with you and to see you go out of this place knowing where you're going to spend eternity. There's nothing special about coming up the altar, up to the front, but what it says is you're serious about the choice you're making. It says that you are ready to step out and be serious with God. God has said he wants you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't, you trust Christ and then you're baptized. That's the order in Scripture. It's a step of obedience. You need to make that choice. If you're going to be sold out to Christ, it begins with small steps of obedience. Baptism is a step of obedience. And it's also a testimony that says, I'm not ashamed to be identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody needs to join our church. You sense that this is where God has led you to be, and you just need to make it official. I'm going to ask you to step out and make that choice this morning. Whatever God's leading you to do, will you respond to him as he leads? Let's stand. You come right now as he leads.